Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Frank Rush being joined today by Tim Maniscalco of the Better Business Bureau of Indiana. Tim, how you doing?
Great. How about yourself, Frank?
Not bad. It's Christmas time, which means everybody is out shopping, they're buying, they're doing all kinds of neat things for other people or themselves. But that also means, too, that it's not just your average, honest, nice person that's out there doing stuff. So are the scammers, and they know that we're out looking to spend some money, and they're more than willing to help us do it, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, they know that people are out shopping, like you say. They may not be paying as close of attention, and they are ready to take your money.
Well, and one of the things that's kind of going around now, and our main goal today is just tell folks what to look out for. Tell us about the scams are going with the Secret Santa and the Secret Sister, which the Secret Sister I've not heard. Secret Santa I'm familiar with, but what's up with that?
Yeah, this is an interesting take on kind of these pyramid schemes. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get a message on social media, let's say Facebook, from a friend that's going to look like, you know, it's an actual friend that you had, maybe somebody that you haven't seen in years or what have you, but you're on Facebook with, and they're going to invite you to this deal to make lots and lots and lots of money. Here's how it's going to work. If you pay, this is the one that we're most familiar with, if you pay someone $5,000, so you're going to send them $5,000, usually wire it or actually put $5,000 in the mail, and recruit two other people, then you're going to get $40,000from this pyramid scheme sometime later down. So, it's very interesting. And then here's what they do: that once they contact you on Facebook or some other social media, then they're going to switch to this app. It's called Telegram, and it's this texting app where it's all this encrypted sort of messaging. They use code names, you know, very sort of secretive, behind-the-scenes sorts of things. And they're going to ask you, obviously, for your information, your email, all kinds of personal information, and personal information about the two friends that you have recruited. So it's, you know, once again, it's just basically a pyramid scheme type of thing. So just be very, very careful of this, particularly if you get an invitation from somebody on Facebook or some other social media, and it's this, you know, incredible way that you're going to make lots and lots and lots of money on a pyramid scheme. We're seeing that, and it is, you know, somewhat pervasive out there. And remember, your social media, it can be pirated and stolen from you relatively easy. So someone who looks like they're your friend, that may not necessarily be your Facebook friend giving you this great advice on how to make $40,000.
And the people that do the social media pirating correctly, you look and they will have a lot of the same friends, a lot of the same pictures and stuff. Because when they lift an identity, they don't just lift a name. They get a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. They're very good at that. And you've described their kind of modus operandi very well there. But we are seeing people who, you know, man, if someone said, hey, give me $5,000 and I'll give you $40,000 back. Sounds good, doesn't it?
No, I think they're idiots, and I would be an idiot for doing that. But I know, but I get what you're saying.
You know, it just sounds like a great deal, and then, you know, they switch you to this other app that is, like I say, a very secretive, code names. It's just all very clandestine, and that's where it really gets. Really gets strange.
You know, I'm not saying it couldn't happen to me because it could happen to anybody, but I've always been one of those people where I am skeptical of everything. The glass is always half empty and it's getting less full no matter what's going on. I'm just suspicious of everything and everybody. I'm a very non-trusting person, you know, so.
Well, in today's world, particularly on the internet and social media, that's not necessarily a bad way to operate because you just... You know, it's not like talking to somebody face to face. You just never know, you know, who may have stolen your Facebook identity, who's really on the internet. It's different than, you know, face to face. Hey, I know you, can trust you, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's just like right now. We're talking about Tim Maniscalco for the Better Business Bureau of Indiana. At least we think so. Now we're on the phone, and who knows? So Christmas time of the year is the one, too, where I don't know if this is as much a problem. Maybe it's probably as much as it has ever been. But pop-up shops, if you take a walk through the mall, provided your mall is still open, and you will find these little instant stores that crop up right in the middle of the aisle of the mall. And you kind of need to be careful about those folks, too, because not only does that happen at the mall, but you can get these pop-up shops on the Internet, too.
Yeah, we see these, you know, at every sort of holiday, whether it is Halloween, Christmas. You get a lot of these pop-up shops, too, around 4th of July selling fireworks and that type of thing. So you just, I think you just need to make a little bit of caution when you deal with these places. Number one, you really just want to research. I mean, is there some sort of headquarter place or do they have a place where you can, you know, get returns or something? Because probably on January 1st, that store isn't going to exist anymore. You're not going to be able to go back into the mall like you would a normal retailer and exchange your gift, or if you got some sort of problem, that type of thing. Just you want to, you know, do things like research what are their return policies, check the quality of their items. A lot of times these places may not have necessarily the, you know, quality that you're looking for. They might even have some brand names that may be not necessarily the true brand names of things. So once again, these are not necessarily bad places to shop. It's just you want to make certain that you really are certain that when you buy that, you know, that's what you want. And if that store isn't around in 2 weeks, hey, you're not going to be disappointed with what you bought. So we're just telling people, do a little bit of research, and before you buy it, really make certain that when you walk out of there, you're happy with what it is that you bought.
And sometimes these pop-up shops are actually just small mini versions of other stores in the mall or other mall-type stores that may not exist the rest of the year in your mall.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's something that we're finding also. So absolutely, you just they're not necessarily bad places. It's just you want to do a little bit of research before you actually buy something.
And some of these pop-ups are popping up on the Internet, too, just because you don't necessarily have to be in the middle of a mall to run into something like this.
No, you're exactly right. You know, you can be here one day and be gone the next on the website. You know, you can shut down a website at any point. So, once again, if you're buying something on the Internet, you know, is that guy going to be there tomorrow? You just don't know. He can shut down that website anytime he wants. And it's a pop-up website, just like it is a pop-up store. So just be careful before you do that. And once again, just be careful of things that are too good to be true, you know, prices and items that you just can't believe what they're selling it for. And advertising goods that are brand names, designer labels, that type of thing. It may have that designer label on it, but it may not necessarily be a true designer purse or whatever you might be purchasing. So once again, you want to purchase from people who are reputable, or don't be disappointed if you get something that isn't quite what you thought it was going to be. It's kind of you get what you pay for on these things.
One of the other things nowadays, technology plays big in everything we do. And that's also a lot of the items. I mean, we're buying a lot more technologically advanced items nowadays than we ever did before. And that goes on to like your smart TV, your smartphones, your smart this, smart that, your smart appliances and smart toys. And there's a whole world out there that you're kind of opening yourself up to that you may not realize when you get into some of these items.
Yeah, so many toys today are connected to the Internet. They're smart toys, very innovative sorts of things. But, you know, Frank, whenever you go out on the Internet, it's kind of like, you know, standing out on the street corner saying, here I am, here's my name, here's a bunch of information about me, anybody want to see any of this stuff, here I am. So you just really need to be careful, number one. When you register those, what types of information are you going to be giving about yourself or your child when you're registering that? Number two, you know, as they're going and playing with the toy and what have you, you know, they're giving information, they're giving feedback, whatever, to the people on the Internet. So just understand what you're information you're giving out there. And then there is some pretty strong legislation and laws out there that do protect children on these online toys or any sort of online activity. The Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, it's really designed to protect children's personal information. Toy companies, they've got to post their privacy policies and describe how that personal information is going to be connected and how it's going to be used and how it's going to be stored and who's going to have access to that. So you want to check that out to make certain that they are complying with that. And, you know, once again, going out on the Internet is kind of like, you know, opening your front door and saying, hey, come on in and you can see anything you want to about me. But there are ways that you can protect that. So you just want to really make certain that you're protecting your child because, you know, once something is out there on the Internet, it's going to live forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to jeopardize anything about your child, about their identity, or about, you know, their activities that is going to come back and haunt them at some point in the future. So they're great toys, can be very, very creative. Not saying it's bad. Just, once again, when you go out on the Internet, there's no such thing as complete privacy anymore. And you want to make certain that these companies that are selling these toys, they are protecting that, that they're not going to be using that somehow in a nefarious way that is going to jeopardize your child's identity or anything in the future. You know, just be careful out there.
You know, when we talk about kids' toys that have internet access, if you take a look, and I know some people are more into this than others, I kind of play with it just because I'm interested. But you can go through most of your Wi-Fi routers and access points in your home network. You can set up when these devices have internet access. You can set limits on them. And you could also, if you don't want your kid's teddy bear to have internet access, you can even ban it from the network. So you need to be aware of what it is you can do to actually control these things. As a matter of fact, the FBI came out with a warning earlier this week, as we record this show, warning people about their smart TVs and letting those have unlimited access, especially the ones that have cameras and microphones built in.
Yeah, you know, you do have really a lot more control than you think you do on, you know, when you access, who accesses it, those types of things on the Internet. So as a parent, I think that's great advice is check to see what kind of access points that you've got control over and exercise those, you know, the way that you want to do that. So, yeah, you've got more control than you think you do. You just need to, you know which buttons to push and how to do it and how to monitor it. Because, once again, in today's world, there just seems to be no such thing as personal privacy anymore. So you want to do everything you can to make certain you're monitoring that you're protecting that, and that the things that you don't want other people to see, that they don't go out on the Internet. But I think you make a great point there, is that we really do have a lot more control. You just need to understand it and utilize it when it's appropriate.
One of the things the FBI talked about, too, is if you have one of these smart TVs with a built-in camera, sometimes you need to review the privacy policy of the company that made it and see, because you may not have a lot of choice, but outside of the fact that you just want to take a piece of, like, tape and cover up the camera to protect your privacy, and piece of tape to cover up the microphones. That way nobody else can have access or hack into your home system and take a look at what you're doing through the camera on your TV without you knowing about it. So there are ways to kind of prevent that and kind of put tape over the cameras and that kind of stuff. It's amazing what folks might actually be able to get to.
It really is, you know, because if you think about the internet TVs and all that sort of stuff and cameras and what have you, I mean, that's both a portal into and out to your home. You may be bringing great stuff in that you want to see and what have you, but you also might be showing people everything that you're thinking and everything that you're doing in your home. So, yeah, that's a It's a two-way street. It comes in, but it goes out also.
Yeah, you might be protecting grandma's muffin recipe or anything else that you may be doing around the house. You know, you got to keep a handle on that stuff.
Grandma's muffin recipe is one violation, but there could be a lot more serious ones than that.
Yeah.
But that's good. Yeah, I like that.
So the Better Business Bureau, you guys, if you think that you may be onto a scam, or you've seen a scam, or you've been taken advantage of one, you guys have lots of tools on your site that folks can learn about scams, report scams, and just kind of check out other businesses around, right?
Yeah, a couple of things there. First off, scamtracker.org. If you go to scamtracker.org, you can look and hone right into your community, so you can go right into a county or a city, and you'll see little dots on there, and that's where people have reported scams. So click on those dots, and you can see what scams have been reported in your area. If you've either been scammed or even attempted to be scammed, you can report that scam. So if you have been scammed or attempted to be scammed, click on the Report a Scam button. It'll take just a few minutes, but it's a great way to let others in your community know that, you know, you've been approached somehow via a scam, and you want others to know about it. And then if you want to check out trustworthy businesses or trustworthy charities, just go to bbb.org. You can check out trustworthy businesses. It's all free to the public. Scamtracker.org and bbb.org.
And, of course, if you have a physical address and a phone number for some of those businesses, that'll help you identify the correct business on the website too, right?
Absolutely, yes. That's another thing that you can do, is check out those businesses and see exactly things like their complaint history, how they're rated, all types of great information on businesses on our website. In Central Indiana, we've got records on over 20,000 businesses.
And you, of course, encourage everybody to get a hold of you if they have a complaint, but also if they have a compliment too, because if somebody finds a business that they think is exceptional and does a good job, you want to hear about them as well.
Oh, absolutely. You can leave a review on a business on our website, as well as file a complaint with us. All of this is free to the public. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we really are trying to promote marketplace trust out there between consumers and businesses, and we want to try and help you be the smartest, savviest, best consumer out there.
All right, Tim Iniskella with the Better Business Bureau of Indiana. Thanks for spending some time with us today. And, of course, we will have you back on again next year to tell us what we need to know about in 2020. That's it for this show this week, and we will see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.